won't know who we truly are until we can break free of these restraints. Happy Wednesday and welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Physical limits, mental limits, we're just not at our best right now. God has created us to be much more than what we see in the mirror every morning. And the catalyst that will bring us out of our hobbled state and into our full potential is death. Pastor Jim has called it the hour of glory. We're in Hebrews chapter 2 to wind up our discussion on the art of dying well.
The ultimate purpose of God in creating man in his image and after his likeness was that he would have dominion over all things that God made, right? David in the psalm picks up that truth from Genesis chapter 1, the intention of God, and says that as you look at man today, as you look at even redeemed individuals, saved individuals, you don't see them ruling, dominating, controlling. You see them very much under the dominion of the forces of nature. If you go out into the prairie, you may get bitten by a snake. You may get eaten by a lion. You go up in the woods, you may get eaten, mauled by a bear. And when the bear comes out, that's no time to stand, turn around and say, "Now, Mr. Bear, I'm in dominion over you." You'll lose your finger, your hand, your arm, your leg. He'll eat you alive. Why? Because that aspect of God's plan for you isn't seen yet. It's not working that way yet. God hasn't finished preparing us in order to place in that position of domination. That's what he's saying. He's saying that right now you can't look at even redeemed men and women and see them over all things. But, verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made little lower than the angels, that means he became human, for the suffering of death, we see him crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for every man. What he's saying is that what you see in Jesus now is the picture or the pattern of where all the redeemed people are going. That's what it's going to be like on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. One more passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here the Apostle Paul's talking about love, and he says some things about the present condition of the believer. He says in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 13, 9, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but then that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. While I was a child, I understood as a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I become a man, I will put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." Paul here is talking about an experience that will radically change how we know, how we process information. I believe that he's talking about the completion of the canon here when he talks about parts, you know. Now we see in part, we know in part, but when that which is complete comes, then we will have fuller knowledge, he says. But then he looks forward to another day when we will not use mirrors at all, even clear mirrors, even complete mirrors. But we will enter into the experience of that full knowledge of God, and we will know as we've never known before. We will understand as we cannot understand now. What I'm trying to say to you in this message is that for the Christian, death in part is a moment of glory. It's a moment when you, like the butterfly, come out of the limiting cocoon. It's a moment when your true nature, your true relationship with God, your true relationship with things eternal become experience, even before the resurrection of your body. It's a time when you move from faith to sight. It's a time when you move from trust to experience. It's a time when you move from a position of limitation to a position of freedom. It's a time when you move from a point of inhibition. The old spiritual had it right. I'll fly away. I'll fly away. It's a release from all of those things that constrain, confine, and conceal who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a moment when you enter into the fuller aspects, the fuller experience of becoming what He wants you to be, becoming like Jesus Christ. So, as Jesus looked forward to His death, I look forward to mine. And as I approach that moment of death, I can pray as Jesus prayed, Father, glorify me. Father, in and through this death, open the cocoon, let the butterfly out. Open the limiting package in which I am constrained, and release me. And that's what death will be. That's exactly what it was for the Lord Jesus Christ. And because He died, that's what it'll be for you and me. I think that's wonderful. I think that's glorious. What God has planned for us is so incredibly beyond our imagination. It is so incredibly phenomenal, awesome, that we cannot comprehend it. And in this life, right now, even with the wonderful Word of God we have, and even with the Spirit of God living inside of us, we're so limited in our ability to see and comprehend that we it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It just doesn't. And with all the wonderful revelation we have just enough to know that the best is yet to come. That on the other side of that scrim, it's going to be wonderful. Listen to how the hymn writer said it. The hymn writer said, when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, that will be glory for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face, will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. That's what I'm saying tonight. That for the Lord Jesus Christ, death on the cross was an entrance into a realm of reality that we can't see, touch, smell, or measure. It was glory for Him. Lester reminded me yesterday morning at the prayer breakfast that the verse that came to his mind as we were talking about this, he said, that reminds me of that passage in Hebrews chapter 12, which says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For the joy that was set before Him. I want you as Christians to face your death with joy. I want you to know that you're going out of this world into a realm that is fairer than day, that's more magnificent and glorious than anything you can imagine. And you're not going there as a guest. You're not going there as a tourist. You're going home. And the robe that your Father's prepared for you and the sandals for your feet that He anticipates putting on you and the ring that He's got upon your finger, beyond anything you've ever dreamt or imagined. And death is the gracious, it's the gracious way God lifts us from this experience of His truth to that realm of His experience. It's incredible, incredible. So the Lord Jesus said, Should I pray to the Father, Father, make this hour pass from me? Nah, for this hour I came into the world. Now, Father, glorify me. As I close this series of six messages, let me remind you that the same God who calls us to die as he died also calls us to suffer as he suffered. And between here tonight and there, that moment of release, you may and I may go through some deep water. We may experience the loss of our mental facilities. We may experience the loss of control in our physical properties. We may be victims of stroke. We may lose our hair. We may. Only God knows. But do what Jesus did. For the joy that is set before him, he endured the cross. He knew that that hour would come, and he knew that that hour was appointed, and he could trust God for that hour. And he would say to his disciples, fellows, all of you are soon going to forsake me and leave. All of you are soon going to run away from me. But my Father will never leave me. I will never be alone. One of the dear sisters commented after a message, I don't fear dying, but I fear suffering before I die. I suppose that's closer to the truth for all of us, that it's not the act of dying. It's not yet dying. And what may be between us now and that moment? Hear the word of Jesus. Your Father will not leave you alone, and he will not permit you nor me to suffer one thing that is not necessary. In all of our suffering, he will be working out things that are far beyond our comprehension. And through the act of our suffering, he will seek to draw us closer to him and make us even more the recipients of his grace and love. So we don't have to fear suffering either, because our Father will be with us. Let me close with this. Some years ago, I was at the dentist's office, and he needed to do some work, and he suggested that he would use nitrous oxide instead of using a shot. Hey, he can do that anytime he wants to. How many of you have been there and had that experience, nitrous? Have you been? Isn't that wonderful? That is the most... I came away from that experience that afternoon understanding why people love drugs, the high that comes. But I remember as the gas began to do its work, I remember thinking, boy, this feels good. And I could feel myself relaxing. And the world of the dentist and the dentist chair, or the dentist and the procedure in my mouth became more and more distant. It seemed like it didn't matter. And I remember thinking, I'd like to let go and just let myself enjoy this more, because it was such a sensation of peace, such a sensation of pleasantness. And I thought, I can't do that because first of all, I've got a wife and children I'm responsible for, you know, and somehow I felt accountable for them. So I decided, well, God would take care of them. And I remember thinking about the church and the responsibility, and I remember thinking, God can take care of that. And I remember having this experience of being loosed from consciousness and being distanced from reality until I came to that state where I was perfectly calm, incredibly calm. I wish I could remember why I told you that story. That's probably the best that I'll know this side of death as to what it's like to die. As one by one, God releases me from senses of responsibility, loosens me from senses of pain and discomfort, loosens me from the things that hold me earthbound and make me part of this experience we call life. And creates within me an overwhelming sense of peace, of calmness, of goodness. And in a split second, faster than I can imagine, I will find myself gazing into the face of the Lord Jesus. That's what it's like to die as a child of God. It's an act, an experience of glory. Now, don't go out and do something foolish to get there. I know you won't. But live without the fear of dying. Because you and I, Christian friend, you and I die and gain. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of life through Jesus Christ and the certainty of our salvation through faith in him. Thank you for the model, the pattern that he gave us in his prayer and in his instruction. As he taught his disciples what death would mean for him, he taught them to appropriate these same gifts for themselves. And for us, death to the believer is to go home to the Father's house. We know that's true because Jesus came from there and he returned. For us, death is laying aside the garment of our flesh, like Peter said, being absolutely confident that in heaven, on the other side of the scrim, there is a garment prepared, made by the hand of God. We will not be naked. And during that period between our death and the resurrection of our bodies, you've already anticipated our needs, and that body will be there waiting. You've told us, Father, that the moment we are absent of the body, we're present with the Lord, and that that's far better. You've told us that death is the release from being prisoner to this old world system with its rebellious ruler and its deceptive ways and its destructive forces, its wallowing in death and destruction. And we'll be released from that. You've told us that it will be glory. That in our death and through our death, you will be glorified. You will be pleased to bring us to that next step in the process you're working in our lives to make us like Jesus, perfect, radiant, glorious. And tonight, we've tried to think about how that might be. That this flesh and blood in which we live is not capable of those kinds of experiences any more than I'm capable of walking to the moon tonight. And that the soul and the spirit, where the Spirit of God dwells within us, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, that wonderful relationship with him, that at the moment of death, that is instantly vitalized. And we then begin to know as we cannot know today. We begin to experience freedom as we can never know freedom today. We begin to experience the incredible process of becoming just like Jesus in all of his fullness. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of death. Thank you for turning this last enemy, this feared adversary, into an usher, a friendly usher. Thank you for taking the sting from death and for the promise you've given us that everything we leave behind in death that is important will be resurrected in glory and power before your work in us is done. Oh Lord, help us to die well and help us to live looking at things that are eternal. Help us to be focused upon things that are spiritual, not things that are only physical. Teach us how to live and in our lives to glorify you, and in our death to glorify you. May others see that our relationship with you is the most significant thing about us, that we treasure that above everything else. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed, and as you listen to these words, perhaps by tape, my friend, do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Do you know that you are at peace with God? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? The receiving is your part. The giving is His. The asking is your part. The saving is His. The need is yours to recognize and confess. The gift is His to give, to impart. I beg of you tonight, if you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, trust Him. Ask Him. Lord Jesus, you may need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm not exactly sure who you are. I'm not altogether understanding all these things that the Bible says about you, but teach me to trust you. Draw me to you. I want to experience your grace and your forgiveness and your life. I want you to come into my life and give me your salvation. And Father, those of us who've made that decision, help us to live so as to please you. Remind us that the hour when we can work is here, and the night comes when no man can work. That these moments here in this earth are where we can most significantly please you and demonstrate to you our love and faithfulness. Help us not to fear those who can only kill the body. Help us not to fear those diseases, those ailments that can weaken and destroy the body. But help us to fear you, to love you, and to seek to honor you, knowing you are Lord of the body, and you are really the only one that counts. Thanks for this time together, this portion of your word, in Jesus' name, amen.
Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Well, don't leave us out of that, Paul. That can be our testimony too. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. The gain of glory and fulfillment and unhindered relationship with our Father. We hope you've been encouraged by Jim's sermon, The Hour of Glory, Part 2. If you'd like to have the message on CD, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. This was the very last installment of our eye-opening series called The Art of Dying Well. Only 6 talks in that group. You can have the whole set on CD for an offering of $26 or more. But this study is an example of the uniqueness of the Voice of Right Start. It isn't a copy of any of the fine Christian programs out there. Pastor Jim brings his own perspective and experience to the pulpit. And if you appreciate that, please consider praying for the ministry and giving. And thanks to the family of folks who are doing those things. You can mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio 43085, USA. You can call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And check out the website we made to minister to you. It's rightstartradio.org. From it, you can subscribe to our daily podcast on iTunes, but with just a few clicks, you can play or download complete sermons on our site. You can play radio programs, too. And, of course, there's a way to donate securely and more at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Well, I haven't made mention of it, but it is Holy Week or Passion Week. Easter is coming. We'll celebrate on Thursday and Friday with some interesting thoughts from Jim. Please come back tomorrow for the next Right Start.